Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
You've heard of Shark Week. Well, this week on Barbell Shrugged, it's time for Rich Froning Week. That's right. We go back to the very beginning, many years ago, when Rich won his first title. We find out how being crowned the fittest man alive changed his life and what he did to prepare to defend the title.
All right, Cross, one of the things that I think CrossFit did that was genius, mostly Greg Glassman, was to actually define fitness. So, and in doing so, they ended up creating like the CrossFit Games, and like if you win the CrossFit Games, you're the fittest on Earth, right?
Right.
Fittest on Earth. So as far as that goes, you've won the CrossFit Games. Once,
yeah.
And the time before, okay. you were damn close, but for some reason the rope climb eluded you.
Rope climb, it eluded me.
Here it goes again.
He's like, I don't want to fucking talk about it.
Hulk smash.
I thought that was over.
Why you gotta bring up old shit?
Is that why you brought me on here?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, in my opinion, and probably the opinion of a ton of other CrossFitters, you know, you're hands down, like, the best CrossFitter in the world. As far as the rest of the fitness community, obviously we're the Arnold Classic, or Arnold Sports Festival, as it's referred to now. And there's all sorts of versions of fitness walking around. If I pick up a triathlon type magazine, they're referring, or you know, a lot of fitness magazines, they'll be referring to some Ironman triathlete as the fittest guy on Earth, right? So, how do you see the just the general fitness public accepting CrossFit, fittest man on Earth, fittest woman on Earth, stuff like that? How do you think that works?
I think it's definitely tough because, like you're saying, you go to the if anybody asks who the fittest on Earth would be a few years ago when Lance Armstrong was winning all that stuff, of course that's the number one answer because that's what's in the public's eye and all that stuff.
For Americans,
that's true.
That's right. You go to another country and whoever you know, whoever their guy is that's doing well in a sport.
That's true.
France is like, we don't know who that is.
We just don't like France.
Talking about him is illegal.
Fuck that guy. Yeah, it's kind of a tough though. Like you're saying, if you don't have a definition of fitness, how can you make that claim? And I think Greg's done a great job of, you know, making that claim, or at least the criteria for what fitness is.
It's a fantastic argument,
right?
Like when presented, that's obvious.
That's the thing, is it's got to be presented. Most people are just like, CrossFit's stupid, or you know, how can you say you're the fittest? And then you kind of have to break it down to them. But even then, you have to say the fittest tested, because there's, you know, who knows if there's some freak. I'm sure there's some freak in Kenya that could throw something in there, and it's
sure. I actually really appreciate the 2012 CrossFit Games shield where it says "Prove Your Fitness."
Prove your fitness. Yeah,
yeah. That's the perfect logo or perfect model really for this year's games, or for any year's games is. Prove regardless it. what your definition of fitness is, you can come in here and you can compete, and anybody can compete since the open's open to anybody, and you can see where you stand. That's fantastic. No other sport is like that. It's not like anybody can try out for the NFL any year.
Yeah, like they say, and make world, their way to the NFL. Champion of football, but I mean, yeah, it's the best team out of high school, college, and professional. But you know, who knows if there's another team somewhere else?
Right.
So
kind of on that note, the games have evolved a lot over the last 4 or 5 years. Every year it's fucking totally different.
Yeah.
So last year, do you feel like it was the most most kind of honest representation of what true fitness is, the most diverse?
Of course it is, because I won. The only problem you could see with the CrossFit Games and even in coming years is it's got to be TV friendly, which also helps a guy like me that Nobody wants to see somebody just row a 10K or run a 10K. Mm-hmm. It's not fun to watch. So
I thought you were talking about your abs.
Real funny.
If you do the rest of this podcast with your shirt off, I'll give you $100.
I'll do it for 50. Hey.
I think you're worth about 5.
In any of those cases, you don't have that much money.
But yeah, it's I mean, you know, because everybody's like, well, they don't have a pure test of cardiovascular fitness, or you know, it's not a long, there's no real ultra long event. But then if you think about 3 days, 10 workouts, it's a pretty long event.
Yeah, I say put a triathlete in that.
Yeah,
See swim. What they-
Yeah, swim.
Push up, squat, yeah, push exactly. up, run.
Sure.
They'd be sucking wind at the end of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No way.
I about died.
Try.
Yeah.
Not to totally knock triathletes, but I'm going to knock triathletes. Whenever we get endurance athletes that email me and say that I'm an endurance athlete, I do a lot of running, a lot of swimming, I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, this is going to be the worst. They always think they are, and then they're always the worst. Usually, actually, because of mobility. Their right. endurance is okay. The strength's usually so-so, they depending on who they are. But their mobility is just terrible.
Oh, yeah,
and they terrible. Can't even do the movements,
right?
Let alone do them well.
One of the best comments I ever saw was, so-and-so run a marathon in like 2 hours and something minutes. And then the person said, I bet I can run a marathon before they'll be able to clean and jerk 225.
Yeah. That's for sure.
So, you know, who's fitter?
Yeah.
Like you're just talking, you got to define it first. So
you can tell me to shut up, and we can edit this out later if I'm you good. Want.
I don't Perfect. Care.
But no. I'm not talking about what we've gone over oh. so far. Oh, okay. where we're going?
Where we're going? Oh,
Rich was like, "Yeah, you say a lot of stupid things. It's fine. just keep it. It's on okay."
and don't feel. And if you want us to edit anything out, we'll make it happen. We're not gonna like make you look bad. But I was talking to you earlier at the party.
Mm-hmm. I like how he prefaced what he was about to say. He was like, I mean, anything that you want us to edit out, we can. So anyway, about this thing I was thinking about.
About that crazy chick. No, yeah. He's like, okay, we're going to edit this out.
Take it out.
Yeah.
You're talking about all the attention you get and stuff like that is just kind of gets overwhelming.
I mean,
and then right after you told me about that, I was like, "Hey, you should come to this podcast."
You know, it's cool. It's just been a complete 180 from, I mean, 2 years ago when we met.
Yeah,
I mean, it was just it was my entourage, and now it's just everybody asking for pictures. So it's like, I mean, it's cool. It's definitely definitely flattering that people want to have my picture with them, but it's just like.
Yeah. Is it surprising to see that come from the CrossFit
yeah,
community?
Yeah, it is real surprising, you know, because like I told you guys, all I do is work out. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
I just work out a lot.
And I think that I think a lot of people who are new to CrossFit actually, they find you to be maybe novel's not the right word, but you're kind of like an idol to right. a lot of these guys that are new to CrossFit. And I met you, like you said, at your first competition.
Right, exactly.
And I actually saw you, and I was like, "This guy's doing it all wrong."
Yeah, it's like,
sucks. Well, I was like, I'm gonna go help. Like, I was trying to be helpful with a lot of people.
Right.
Not that I'm like, you know, a genius right, about weightlifting or anything like that. But
you know what you're doing.
That's one of the movements was the snatch, and I was like, you know, helping everybody out. I knew I wasn't gonna win or anything, so I was like, I'm just gonna try and help everyone make. Everyone as good as possible, and Mick Goldrick's going there. Mike, stop helping people. I want to win.
Oh yeah, Mike was in third, I think, or second. He was in second.
Yeah. That's Mike McGoldrick for you at home. But yeah, he was. He was like, but he was joking too.
Right. Yeah.
So
no, I know Mike.
So yeah, we're all friends. So, but it's one of those things where I was like, oh yeah, you should change this or that, and you were actually really receptive, and that was cool.
At the time, I was like,
who's this guy? I'm like, the whole time, I'm like, who's this guy? And I'm just helping everyone, and then like you end up like winning the whole thing. I was like,
what just
happened? I probably didn't have to tell you anything. Yeah. I was like, I didn't have to tell you a damn word, and you probably would have just like totally smoked it, but. Whatever.
That's not what he said when he got home that day. He was like, I taught this guy how to do it.
Yeah. Everything.
And he won because of what I told
everything.
Him.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
You know, the only thing I left out was the rope climbing.
Yeah. Appreciate that. Left out that chapter.
So what's it look like for you this year? Do you get a bye
no
in
buy.
Regionals?
No bye.
Okay.
but
everybody, it's prove your fitness year.
It's prove your fitness.
That's right. You gotta, like, we don't know you.
You
every year it's different.
You have to. Yeah, there's no pre-qualified, but if I make it, they're gonna take an extra spot.
Right,
makes sense.
So if you, what about Dan Bailey?
He's got sixth, so it doesn't matter. But Graham, if Graham gets in again,
right,
they're taking another spot.
Okay.
So they normally take, what, top three out of regionals?
Yeah.
And so if you get it, then they take top four? Is that
and then
saying?
If Graham gets it too, they take five.
Take five. Okay.
Yeah, our region is sick.
It's stacked.
I remember looking at a blog last year that was talking about regions and how competitive they are. Like, the most competitive region was Europe. Like, the whole continent.
Oh, yeah, because there's a lot of countries there, right?
Spoken like a true Tennessean. Is it?
I've been there now, so I can actually talk like that.
There you go. So then, and then the second most competitive was Central East, which is our region.
Right.
So I think a lot of people get a little discouraged by that.
But, so. I mean, they're taking two now. So, and they said if we don't qualify, CrossFit reserves the right to invite whoever they want.
I think I saw that somewhere. And I was reading the rule book the other day. I was trying to see if one of our guys could compete if he didn't do all the open wads.
Mike?
Yep. Yeah, that guy.
That guy.
Yeah.
Mike McGoldrick.
You better look at his scores.
This is Tim Ferriss, and you are listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Barbell Shrugged is brought to you by you. To learn more about how you can support the show, go to barbellshrugged.com and sign up for the newsletter. It's bro time. Eating pizza for recovery, competing with your best friends, and the coolest moment Rich ever had in CrossFit competition up until this show. Check it out.
All right, Mike Blitzer here, Barbell Shrug, here with Dan Bailey and Rich Froning, talking about bros hanging out, or bro time.
Bro time. Let me tell you a little story first. So Hillary, my wife, she wakes up one, this is the morning after this all happened, she said in the middle of the night, so Dan will be Hillary. I go, bro time. I have a habit of talking in my sleep. she said, at first she was like, oh, here we go. And then all of a sudden, slap, bro time. And I was like, I don't think I did that. But apparently I talk in my sleep a lot. So we always get made fun of for our bro time. Or Dan's kind of our referee at the house because Hillary's a lovely lady.
Lovely lady.
So, it's good.
I know how that is.
Yeah, you understand, but if you got another guy there that kind of, no, you're wrong. So it kind of helps.
Yeah, Mike has two girls.
I have two girls in my house. So. Yeah, we've got a female roommate who's also a teammate. So
okay.
Works out real well, but Ashley has to behave herself.
Uh-huh. So it does help a little bit.
Yeah, it does help. So she just doesn't want to be known as a crazy, I think.
As a crazy.
Edit that out. All right, so I heard a rumor that you guys were eating pizza on Friday night.
Yes.
Is that both of you?
And last night.
Absolutely.
And who?
And last night.
Last night.
It was whole night last night.
Chipotle?
I had
where did you park?
And crust meat lovers.
What's that?
Where did you park? We tried going.
We got towed from Chipotle.
We're Days Inn, like, in the hood right next to the Chipotle.
Nice.
Yeah, we ran through the hood because we got towed.
Oh, got towed, nice.
Yeah, is pizza like a normal? Is that normal pre-workout?
Every two weeks.
Probably, thin crust, meat lovers.
You can do it before the CrossFit Games in LA?
Maybe, I feel like it.
Wait, so does that mean you went to Pizza Hut?
Domino's.
Ah, my man. I'm the 2011 Papa John's Pizza Driver of the Year.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I didn't know who else.
Better ingredients, better pizza. We're going to have to switch you.
He's got rack and everything.
No, I could get like official. Maybe you could talk to him about a sponsorship for us in pizza or something.
I could work that out.
Let's do it. That'd be awesome. People would love that.
You had an epic finish on Wad 4.
Yep.
Through the bar.
Yeah. It almost hit me in the head.
Everybody.
I don't know if you guys saw that.
Everybody was counting your reps at the end. Uh-huh. How did that feel?
So I'd say that's probably the coolest part of the weekend is having, however many hundred people counting every rep you do. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty
I've had one person count reps for me before, and I had to make them. I can't imagine having a couple hundred.
No, it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool to see it.
Very good.
Hey, you make fun of me for going like this, and then you chuck the bar in the air. What's that?
Yeah, but you're
what's
just...
Yeah, but there's no yeah, but.
And then...
Look at me. I can throw 115, 65 pounds in the air.
But I liked it. I thought it was
that.
Cool shit.
I appreciate that.
I liked it too. I saw Dan get motivated by it.
Did he? No, I was too busy drooling on the floor. Dan has a problem where he snots when he starts breathing real heavy. Like, just snot and spit, and it's just...
I can't help it.
It's like a racehorse.
It's like right in front of me.
It's like a racehorse.
It looks horrible.
And, like, racehorses have, like, snot dripping down their face. And
I need to turn around every time I face the crowd.
I've been following Brian McKenzie on Twitter, and he has an athlete here, Lindsey Smith, and he's been tweeting about, like, you know, just athletes in general and efficiency and all that kind of stuff. He's an efficiency fiend. Both of you guys move really, really well, you know, from the rower, like on the one wad, you know, the rower to the pistols to the queens. You're moving real clean. I've noticed that's pretty much the difference between you guys and the guys that are in like 30th place, you know, like right out of the gate, they're moving ugly. How much do you focus on efficient movement, or do you guys focus more on energy system training, or how does that pan out?
I'd say both. We do a lot of efficiency stuff, a lot of on the minute stuff, and then, I mean, then you just train CrossFit really, but all of our Olympic stuff is, you know, reps versus, I mean, we do some singles, but a lot of the time it's heavy weight for reps or something.
I'm kind of the same way. Efficiency is my number one thing that I really need to work on, and I've gotten a lot better since last year, but I still have some room.
You didn't come into CrossFit efficient with efficiency. You came in like just muscling things,
yeah,
and then you've had to like get more efficient as you went along.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's kind of the way I am too.
So you won the snatch walk event, mm-hmm, at 275. The next best would be 265. Dan, did you get? You got 265.
Yes.
How were the double unders along with the snatch? How did that?
I didn't think it was that bad. It kind of warmed you up almost. Is the combination of 150 squats, 120 pull-ups, yeah, and 90 shoulder overhead that really affected the snatch, I believe. But
I think that was a big
maybe the hang cleans too, and pistols and 2K row.
2K row
might have hurt too, but I don't think the double unders really had much to do with it. I think it's, well, that and we warmed up for about an hour and a half over there. So I did 100 snatches in the warm-up area.
A lot of people think you guys are freaks, and kind of it's unbelievable. And I talked to you earlier, and you were talking about you're sore. You're like, I don't know how I'm gonna do on the snatch because I'm sore. And then someone asked me about you, and I walked over there, and they're like, oh, how's Rich? And I was like, oh, he said he was a little sore, and they were like, you're like surprised that you were sore, like it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But you guys are beat up right now.
Yeah.
Y'all are giving 100%.
Not a spring chicken.
No, we were talking about it. This is probably the sorest I've been in the past couple months, and it just goes to show you what you compete in an atmosphere like that.
Intensity.
How much your body's going to put out a little bit more. You're going to push yourself that much harder.
Yeah, like we do more volume than this, I think, in a 3-day period, but you add that intensity piece with the volume, and it's a whole different story.
Rich, you have a degree in exercise science, and you probably have a deeper understanding than most people who are training on some good ideas and periodization, all that kind of stuff. Do you feel that you're, even though you're kind of going off of how you feel, there's some kind of a cycle going on?
I mean, with most of the power lifts and stuff like that, I do usually follow some type of 6 or 8 week type program. I don't cycle them or do anything like that. It's the last time it was actually Googled just Russian squat program, and that's what we did for 6 or 8 weeks.
Did you use the 13 week one off the Wikipedia page?
It wasn't off of Wikipedia. It was just like the first thing that popped up.
We don't ever check Wikipedia. The first person I've ever met to do Wikipedia workouts.
No, dude. I've never heard anybody. I've never heard that either.
I walked in my gym.
I walked in my gym like 2 weeks ago. And was it the small off?
Small off, yeah.
I'm walking by the computer. Like, we have a computer that's set up for anyone and everybody to use. And I see a Wikipedia page up with the small off squat routine. I was like, and I look over. And I was like, I figured out who was doing it.
Huh? Who was it?
I think it was Jason Mitchell. And
somebody tag him.
This dude squats a lot of weight, so I mean, I'm not gonna argue with him. But like, right, it was kind of funny that it was like, just, it wasn't off of like some training website. Right. It was off of Wikipedia. Wikipedia is everything.
Well, you know,
and people can go on there and write like whatever they want.
Just like the rest of the internet.
Yeah.
It's on the internet. It's got to be true.
If it's on fitter.tv, it's true. Know that.
Infallible.
Yeah. So you have this base of knowledge. Are there things that you avoid Like, you're going off of how you feel, but you're like, man, I probably shouldn't do pull-ups 5 days a week because that might hurt my shoulder.
I mean, of course, like, the overuse, the just doing the same stuff all the time. I mean, we do a lot of the same stuff multiple times throughout the week, but it's not like 5 days a week doing something. Like Darren said, though, there's a lot of stupidity that goes into what we do.
You got anything that really just kills your joints that you only do in competition? You just keep it out of your training almost altogether?
Pistols. I'm just not a big fan of pistols. I don't touch those until, like, the regionals. That was the first time I'd done them since the 2010 games.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard that. Is that true? Like, you'd never done pistols ever, and it was just in a competition, you were just like this, and just did them all?
Yeah, kind of. At the games in 2010. And then, like I said, I'd maybe done, I don't know, 5 or 10 pistols, just, like, I don't know. They just weren't, for the most part, the beginning when I was doing CrossFit, they just hurt my knees really bad just because my form and technique just on squat and stuff was so terrible. I was very quad dominant, knees forward. So I'd get a lot of knee pain, you know, tendonitis type of knee pain. So I was like, I'm not going to touch pistols. Mm-hmm. But
that's probably pretty motivating for the rest of the general population for you to say that your form used to be really terrible at something.
It was.
Like everything wasn't just handed to you.
No, yeah,
you
I mean, it's like taken a lot of work. And that, I mean, you know, everybody's like the high volume that we do. But I think that helped me to, you know, to get better at stuff, get more efficient at stuff. Mm-hmm. Because literally me and Darren started about, 100 yards from here up in Darren's barn. That's where we started doing CrossFit.
Running down the road,
we never had any type of coaching. It was just each other.
You know, YouTube.
Watching videos, YouTube.
Wikipedia.
Wikipedia. That type of stuff.
Mostly Wikipedia.
But, you know, I mean, doing the journal, like reading the journal, trying that type of stuff. But as far as like an actual coach, neither one of us have been actually coached, unless you call each other technically.
Yeah. How much of your conditioning is made up from like rowing, aerodyne, stuff like that? Or is most of your conditioning coming from things like pull-ups and squats and stuff
like
that?
A lot of it's rowing and aerodyne. But then, I mean, usually at one or two like CrossFit style Metcons a day, and it may be an interval Metcon, maybe a traditional, you know, 12-minute AMRAP, or it varies, really, to be honest.
And that's by feel also?
Do what?
That's by feel also?
Yeah. Yeah. Or it's by feel or what I haven't done in a while in a workout, you know, or a combination of stuff. So it's a lot of by feel, how I feel.
Do you log your workouts?
No.
Nope.
I wish we would have done that for a while.
I'm actually the same way. I will sit and plan workouts.
Yep.
I'll plan way out for myself and stuff like that, but as far as like recording results, and I tell people you have to record results
if you want to get, you want to keep up
if you want to get results, and da, da, da. People are like, so where's your log?
We've got Wattify in our box. I was doing a little plug for them.
It's actually
pretty good. It's a program that, you know, it's set up to where we've got two TVs set up in the gym that One has the actual workout of the day on there, and then people log in to the class, and then they put their results in, and it actually has it, you know.
How do they log in?
Can they
use their own device, or do they have to log in at the gym?
Both. They can use own device or at the gym, and it's actually a pretty handy thing. It keeps track of all their, you know, their named workouts, keeps track of their lifts. It's actually a pretty, pretty beneficial program. So
that's pretty cool.
It's cool.
You just go to Wattify.com.
Wattify.com.
If you want that.
Yeah. You try it out.
I'll check that out.
That's a paid service, or that's free?
I think we've got it free perks, but I know who I am.
I don't think you're supposed to. supposed to tell people that.
They don't care. But I'm pretty sure you just pay per member. Like the member's kind of like $2 or something like that per.
There's a lot of services like
and
that.
It's actually a pretty.
Yeah, it actually is probably
because people
of the most
get fired up because I mean they can actually see the progress. I mean, we make sure everybody logs in and everybody puts their stuff in, but it just keeps track of it for them, so they can't lose it. They can't screw it up. You know, it's
how can they access their profile? Is their profile on like the Wattify website, or can they access it through your website, or do you
it's
know?
On their, well, either one, I think.
There's a login. I mean, like, there's even like an app, like for your phone. Like, you can get like a Wattify app, and if you have the login and pass, you know, like your ID, you just log in, you can see everything. You see the workout of the day, people's times, who has the fastest time, who has the slowest time, who used the most weight, who did it RX'd. So it's actually pretty cool. I mean, you know, because people come in and they see that, you know. And it has it for, like, each class, too. You can break it down by each class. Pretty handy.
That records all the times of everyone at your gym or everyone that has that app?
Everybody at our gym.
At our gym.
Yeah. Yeah, for that, I mean, for like, that workout. Like, it'll tell you everything about, like, that workout.
How hard is it to input the WAD?
Not hard at all.
It's easy. I can show you when it takes 30 seconds.
That's one of the things that I don't like about those programs a lot of times. I get intimidated real fast because I've been doing it this way for years, and they're like, all right, now you're going to change it. I'm like,
it's actually pretty easy. You go in the program, and then it'll actually, you can set it up to where it'll post to the website on its own.
Perfect.
So it's actually a pretty sweet setup.
You may have just convinced me.
I know.
Mm-hmm. I'll definitely check it out at least, in the very least.
Yeah, and they're pretty good about, like, you know, there's some things that need to be changed. Nothing major, but they're working on it, and that's part of the deal with us is, you know, we give them feedback on what needs to be changed or what stuff needs to be added.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I got a question for you. So, you know, 10, 20 years from now, obviously, you know, you're big into fitness and you'll probably be working out the whole rest of your life, but maybe not, you know, competing to be, you know, top in the world. You know, what kind of stuff are you going to keep in your workouts and what are you just going to throw away and be like, fuck this, I'm never doing that again because I hate that shit?
I don't know. Running?
Running?
Working out.
I saw you had a really big working hill out coming in here. You guys run that hill?
We've ran that hill, what, once, Darren?
Gosh, yeah.
We've ridden our bikes up it a couple of times. That hill is miserable.
Yeah. I feel like the bikes would be almost worse.
It's a 5K bad. From the bottom.
From the bottom to here, it's almost exactly a 5K.
I didn't believe my GPS at first. I was like, 3 miles. It'll take us like 3 minutes. It's like 10 minutes later.
You're like, where the
this is hard.
And I'm in Tennessee.
But I was in a Prius. That was part of the problem.
That Prius was struggling getting up that hill. I kept joking about you were going to come jogging up next to us and pass us.
I thought about running it over when I pulled into the driveway. But
I thought we were about to get run over. I'm looking at my GPS like, are we in the right spot? And this big pickup truck comes flying up. I can see it in the rear view. Freak me out. Not my Prius, folks. I'm just kidding. I mean, well, it's not, but I wouldn't be embarrassed if it was. It's a sweet car to travel in.
It's cute. So cute.
CTP's car is sweet for traveling. We got all the way here without having to pump gas, and we'll probably get most of the way home without pumping gas, so
it's pretty good.
Wow.
And it's a quiet ride. It's nice.
And have we run out of things to talk about already?
And there's three dudes in it. That makes it even better.
Three
back
grown
to your
men.
Question, though, I'll probably Olympic lift more. I just, that's what I enjoy.
Did you go to the American Open?
No, I did not.
No.
I kind of wish I would have, but.
They didn't invite you?
No, I never got an invitation.
Bunch of jerks.
You didn't get invited to You didn't get invited to the Outlaw Open?
Oh, that one, yes. I did get invited to that.
I was going to say, what is Rudy thinking?
I did get invited to that one, but I didn't
get Somebody get him on the line.
I was in Chile.
That's right. Oh, yeah. That's right. I knew that. Oh, man. Yeah, when we talked last time, I was like, man, you should do the American Open. You totally qualify that. I remember that was the last podcast.
Gotcha, yeah, okay.
So you're going to do nationals for weightlifting now, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Get you qualified.
For your gym? Is that what, or for your
barbell club? Faction, right?
I don't care. Yeah. You can join my weightlifting club. I don't care.
I can coach you.
That's right. I'm Rich Froning's coach. The coach he doesn't use.
The funny story about that one, some of you guys may know Thomas Cox, whoever listens to this, but he's one of the guys that I actually train with, and he went to HQ, and...
Where is HQ?
I don't really know, but no, he was at Media HQ in Santa Cruz, California. Remember that show, Where's Carmen Sandiego? That just made me think of. Anyway, random thought. But so Thomas went, he was on a recruiting trip because he's the offensive line coach for Tennessee Tech. And he showed up to HQ because they knew that he trained with me. And there was a Twitter or on Facebook. It said, we have Rich Froning's coach in the house today. Do you have any questions you'd like to ask him? And the question I asked was, who's Rich Froning's coach? And then they were like, Thomas Cox, do you know him? And I was like, he's not my coach. So it's always a joke with Thomas. He's like, I swear I didn't say that. But I was like, yeah, sure he didn't.
You did.
Yeah, you did.
It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a break real quick and shoot some guns. Put them down. What's up, guys? And gals. Gals, yeah, I'm not leaving you out.
We have lots of female fans, I think. I don't know.
Guess what? We're still in Cookville hanging out with Rich Froning. And we're talking about the subject of donuts and apple fritters came up
during the break.
It's like, this is what the fittest man on earth talks about.
Eats every day.
Talks about, yeah, he eats it every day. Wakes up, first thing in the morning, apple fritter. If you want six-pack abs... and want to be able to go for days on end, apple fritters are your buddies.
People see the hamburgers,
and the fritters and the PB&Js, Rich, but they don't see, I guess, putting a 10K row before. That's a, yeah. that's a qualifying detail here we need to say. You can do that, but you better put in like 8 million, you know, 1,000 pounds of volume a day.
I think they're also thinking that's the only thing
only
you
Only thing, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. We came here with good intentions. I actually packed up. We have a company back home called Bedrock Eats and Sweets, and they deliver.
Saw the pictures.
Yeah, they deliver food delicious. To the gym. It's very paleo-esque.
Nice.
And
what does that mean?
Well,
who's paleo?
I'm pretty sure that cavemen were not making tuna salads.
No,
but
you don't know.
Right?
Were you there?
Yeah,
were
you there? You know what? They might have been.
Who knows?
Who knows? So
they didn't have iPhones.
That's right.
It's true. We didn't know about
we must
plants that rain glass either.
But,
dummies.
But we came here with great intentions. I packed a cooler, tuna salad, chicken salad.
Did you eat it all?
We ate on the way here. CTP refused to eat.
He goes, I want some real food. And what did you end up eating, CTP? Kentucky Fried Chicken, fried chicken. You son of a bitch.
Did you eat the bones?
It looked to be a boneless item, didn't it?
I ate the bones.
I ate the bones.
Calcium.
Well, and a bird that's deprived of that much like sunlight is just gonna have the bones are gonna be so fragile you can just consume them.
What a poor
no
existence,
problems.
That tiny creature.
You don't even know if you ate the bones.
That's right.
But I tell you, that creature made a great sacrifice to deliver delicious fried chicken flavor to CTP boy. It's worth it.
We had good intentions. So what'll end up happening now is, you know, we came here, gonna keep it paleo, we're gonna keep it clean, not gonna stop anywhere. And then we're gonna have some
mayhem.
And then we hang out with Rich, and now we're eating apple fritters and chugging milk.
Yeah, but maybe we'll do some Concept 2 ski erging afterwards.
Yeah,
after or before burning off.
Get a workout in.
It happens.
Potentiate
yeah,
it about
happens.
It.
Are you gonna pursue any heavy weightlifting?
We'll see after this year.
Weightlifting competition.
We'll see after this year. I'd like to.
Because, I mean, people are starting to ask the question, when are you gonna give up on this silly CrossFit stuff and do something that makes you some real money?
No, I want to. I want to see, you know, for at least a couple months and just give it a try. Just maybe just doing weightlifting, and it's just gonna be tough for me not to, I don't know, not do Metcons. I mean, as much, I
right.
guess.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see if I can do it.
I think you could still like really focus on weightlifting and still get conditioning.
Right.
I think there's, you know, better and worse ways
right.
of doing the conditioning to kind of complement the weightlifting.
Right.
But. Are you going to give the American Open a shot? I mean, at least show up and lift.
Yeah, when is the American Open?
December 7th and 8th. It's in Dallas.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah that'd be fun. It'd be a lot of fun.
What are you weighing right now?
Right around 200.
Damn, you get fatter every time I see you.
Every time, bro.
Every time. He's like 5 pounds heavier.
5 pounds a year. I don't know. I've been running a little bit more the last couple weeks, so maybe I've dropped a little bit, but we'll see. I don't know.
You don't have a lot of fat to lose.
No,
that's the problem. If you're losing weight, it's not the kind you want to lose.
Not the good I want to lose, yeah. I was about 200. I was 202 the week after regionals, so I was around 200 at regionals.
Oh, wow. So if you started doing more focus.
202, what a pick.
I know, right?
If you were to start doing just weightlifting, you'd probably gain a few pounds.
I'd probably gain a few.
You probably put you right out where you need to be for 94 kilos.
Right.
And at your height, man, and your strength, you could be really good at 94 kilos.
I don't think you have to train much. Just putting a little more focus on the lifts and dialing back the wide stuff just a little bit.
Yeah.
But I mean, your work capacity is so high, it's not going to take away from the weightlifting training.
Right.
You said to just divert a little bit of focus temporarily, it'd be all you need.
Right.
So what are you snatching now?
I haven't just went for a pure one rep in a while. I've been doing this kind of on my, I made it up on my own for like, 1 week I'll do most of my lifts work up to a heavy 4 rep max just because you don't know with the CrossFit Games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the next, so like on Monday I'll do squat snatch. Tuesday I'll do power clean. Wednesdays I usually jerk or push press. Thursday squat clean. Friday power snatch. And so then it's a four rep max 1 week, 2 rep max the next week, then a 3 rep max, then a 1 rep max. And then I just kind of a deload or a 3 position, just work on technique on the fifth week.
Yeah.
And I've been doing that 2 or 3 times. I think I'm on my second or third cycle.
Yeah, nice.
And then I'll do some on-the-minute stuff after that with like 70% of whatever I've worked up to, just to get some volume in,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I don't know, just CrossFit.
What do you think about, you're talking about what you do for training right now, which like we've podcasted with you before, mm-hmm. and it sounds a little bit different than what you were doing previously,
yeah.
And anyone who's an advanced athlete needs to be
changing
what they do every 3 or 4 months, more than likely. But, you know, what do you tell someone who maybe has been doing CrossFit for 1 or 2 years and they hear what you're doing and they want to, like,
yeah,
do exactly,
wanna,
like, I want to do what Rich Froning does. He's the best for a reason, right?
Right. No, there's a lot of, lot of background before I started doing that type of stuff, right. You know, doing that higher volume, heavier Olympic stuff. I mean, you got to work on technique a lot more than it sounds like, I guess, because I, you know, I do a lot of 50% on the minute stuff just to work on technique and just, you know, trying to dial in the movements and make sure everything's right, hitting my positions and stuff like that. So, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, Rich Froning works to a 4 rep max, you know, in a week on 4 different lifts. That's, you know, that's what I should be doing. But no, it takes a little bit of time for your body to get used to doing that. So,
yeah.
Well, people only recognize the success and they go, I want that kind of success. Even if it's a small taste of it, I'll do a similar thing.
Right.
That equals that. Like, it's a math problem. But they don't, you're right, they don't see
the countless hours,
15 years of different activities you've done that have all enabled you to be in a position to right. do this now.
Right. And we were, I was actually, somebody posted, it was an old video, one when we were at Old Mayhem, when the place that you came to.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just
the dungeon.
Yeah, the dungeon. And it was just a video I was doing, I think it was just a 200 meter run, some double unders, and some thrusters. But just looking at my squat, just on the thrusters, it just made me sick. I'm just like, my knees, no wonder my knees were killing me all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just, you don't realize how much time and effort it took, or, you know, how long it took to you know, and my squat's still not perfect, but, you know, yeah. it's a lot better than it was. And just seeing the difference, all the time and effort you put into, you know, trying to perfect that stuff and how much easier it makes it or how much better you feel doing it yeah. the right way.
I was talking to some of our clients the other day. Somebody was putting in some extra time on the snatch. And he was frustrated because his snatch weight hadn't moved up in weeks. And I was like, you know,
dude, guys train for the Olympics like 5 years
to get
just to add like
pounds.
5 kilos.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing progress. But expert athletes training for that long, full-time professionally, to put just a few
at
pounds.
One lift.
Yeah, I told him, I was like, I put 18 kilos on my snatch in 6 years. It's like, that's 3 kilos a year.
And you're working hard.
Yeah, well.
Well, at least
that's
sometimes.
Debatable, yeah. But, you know, I tell those guys, like, you know, I've been squatting for strength for 15 years. I'm still improving my technique on the squat.
Right.
Just the air
yeah.
squat. And
yeah.
I didn't, don't even worry about what kind of barbell you got on your shoulders or where it's at on your shoulders. Just the way my legs are moving has changed in the last year.
Exactly. And then if you get away from doing something that helped, or, you know, you haven't squatted, or, you know, if you go on a back squat program versus a front squat program for a little while, your front squat's going to suffer because you haven't been in that position. And
right.
it's just a constantly check in and reevaluating stuff. And people always think, oh, well, I'm good at that, I don't need to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Well,
the cool thing, the way I think of it is, like, there's this natural sort of, like, kind of like the old Journey song, the wheel in the sky keeps on turning, man. But in an applied example of that, it's like,
oh, geez, now he's gonna weave this in somehow.
Shut up. Sure, let me do my thing for just 5 seconds, would you please? No, but like, I see training as not being this straight line, which, like, I started as a beginner.
Right.
And I got some experience. I'm moving my way up to being an expert. And that's when I write my big book on training, make my $1 million, and I say, see you later. No, I mean, it's more of this cycle that keeps on going around. You can be a beginner. You get a rhythm, you build up a state of where you're getting kind of close to mastering it. And for you, it may mean you're just doing really good. You're doing the best you're likely to do. You don't have to be an expert to be a master, let's say. And then maybe you get to a stage where you want to teach and share what you've learned. But then it was funny, like, the things that become what you focus on, even though you're far away from the beginning, as you come back around, you realize, wow, I need to revisit all these things
this
I want. You take things for granted.
Yeah.
The simple act of just doing a squat the right way, or revisiting a kind of squat that you're not as good at, the act of reintroducing yourself as a beginner at something is maybe one of the best things you can do. You don't just become an expert now, you're always an expert. No, there's all these other things that you are still a beginner at,
right,
relatively speaking.
I never thought when I was 10 years old I'd spend 20 years straight trying to be perfect at standing up.
That's true.
It sounds pretty extreme.
Thanks a lot.
Well, you just thought that, you know, hey, I'm now 2 years old, I can stand up just fine. I got this figured out. Check that thing off the list. But something as simple as that is not so, it's not so short.
That's true. I didn't even think about that. But now I'm like,
I'm so good at standing up.
Kelly, it's all Kelly Starrett's
yeah,
fault.
It really is. Right?
I'm like looking at my feet.
Yep.
Like, am I kicking a foot up?
Yep.
No.
I know. I look like an idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
My abs turned on just a little bit. Yep,
yeah,
we're good.
Yeah.
We're
trying. Do I have anterior pelvic tilt right now? Jeez.
Everyone's looking at me.
I need to get my abs tied here. This is ridiculous.
We're going
to
get Kelly on the show, right? He's coming soon.
Yeah, we're trying. We're trying.
So my personal,
we've been talking to him,
we've been having some back and forth, but scheduling.
It's gonna happen.
Scheduling things.
We'll have Rich just tell him to do it. But yeah, the thing is, I'm terrified of. I'm terrified of me look at me going, oh Jesus, look at you, you're a mess. That's what I'm scared of. From years of football and powerlifting, I'm about as immobile. Yeah, I'm sure you've seen worse, but not many people.
On the squatting, do you do a lot of single leg work? Or do you pretty much just keep it two legs all the time?
Two legs most of the time, unless they call for pistols at regionals. Then I work on pistols.
That's right. So I remember you saying you hate those, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate them as much anymore, but since I've worked on my squat, for some reason that, you know, it kind of transfers over.
Weird how squat transfers to other activities.
Yeah, interesting.
Other kinds of squats.
Right. So, you know, even after at regionals, after those 100, my, you know, 2 years ago, my knees would have been killing me because I'm all quad dominant. But, you know, as long as you set that, you know, your normal line of action as you would in a normal squat, it's pretty close to the same.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's just doing those things, and for the most part, they transfer over. So, you know, I'll do pistols every once in a while. They're not something that I'm like, ooh, I haven't done pistols in a while. Let me do these. But if they come up, I can do them.
No, you never do like rear foot elevated split squats with heavy weight or anything like that.
No.
That's what people need to realize. It sounds so fancy and awesome.
Lunges.
Rear foot elevated Bulgarian split snatch squats, whatever you want to dream up in your head. But it's like, but everybody who's really, really good at the lifts will go, why don't you just do squats again? What's wrong with that? You know, with a barbell and heavy weight and simple with good form.
Yeah.
It's a question for the ages.
It's like, I forget who that world-class bencher was. He pressed like 700 pounds for like a couple sets of doubles. And then someone said, well, what are you going to go do for your triceps? He was like, I don't know what I'm going to do for my triceps that I didn't just do. pressing 700 pounds.
Touché.
Yeah. That's the thing about assistance lifts. Like, I understand why they're great. I've done them and had good results, and I've not done them and had good results. I think it depends. Like, if it makes you feel better, it makes you feel more prepared and confident, and it's not causing some kind of issue of overuse or something, then hey, knock yourself out. But you got to realize there are plenty of people who just do some simple things. It's not get the simple path is the wrong path.
I think a lot of it too is in your head. I mean, there's days where, like last night, you know, I did quite a bit of volume, and I always either finish the day with a run or some rowing intervals. You know, I'd probably done plenty, but I felt like I needed to do more. And then just, you know, getting on the rower and finishing and doing some intervals felt even better. So I think a lot of it, you know, people get caught up in, you know, I've just got to get this done, and you know, you feel better the more you get done, or you know,
yeah,
just kind of.
I think there's a little bit of just being tuned into your body too.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
and knowing what else you can do or whatever.
We were just talking about actually when you're doing a skier, I looked over at Doug and said, you know what, it's probably really useful to do that. You know, you get good back work in, but you don't have to always do the demanding kipping pull-ups or weighted pull-ups. Like there's a time when you can just do high rep, easy stuff for your back that makes you feel so much better.
Right. Get out of
breath. Pumps blood, takes the soreness out, and it still helps you do pull-ups. It's just that it doesn't beat you up so much.
Right.
Huh.
Yeah, so variance.
All right, guys.
Constantly variation.
Take a break. We'll be taking a break here. When we come back,
who knows?
Welcome to Barbell Shrug. Mike Blutz here with Doug Larson. We have traveled to Cookeville, Tennessee to hang out with the men's Team USA for the CrossFit. What's the name of the competition we're doing, Matt?
It's the CrossFit Invitational.
CrossFit Invitational, which will be in Berlin in a couple weeks. And Matt Chan is here as the coach.
Hi.
Coach
Matt.
And we have Rich Froning here and Ben Smith. And we've got Hollywood there in the back.
Yeah, he'll
Jason
come eventually.
Jason Kalipa getting worked on. Yeah. So you guys are all coming in, training together. And Matt, you got all these guys on the same training program?
The same training program. These guys are doing exactly what I've said, told them to do for the last 6 months. And no, man, we're just getting together and we're really just trying to work together as a team. Iron out some details and see what we're good and bad at. So
today we were watching and you were doing a lot of team building type programming. A lot of the WODs were, you know, I really like the holding.
Yep.
The holds while the other partner, you know, does thrusters or
yep.
or
deadlifts. Actual team event, you mean?
Actual team event, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think I know that these guys are good at individual events. I don't really need to test them at that. There's a reason why they were 1, 2, and 3 in the CrossFit Games. They're plenty good. But, you know, it's interesting how, you know, you take a bunch of individuals, you put them on a team, and then all of a sudden maybe things clash a little bit. But
things start falling apart.
But not today. I thought these guys worked pretty well together.
Looks good.
Is there going to be individual and team events for these guys, or are they doing only team?
Well, the way that it works is everything's designated as a, you know, we're Team USA versus Team World. But,
Oh, so I thought it was just USA versus Europe.
No, it's world now.
So the U.S. is battling everybody.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And they just can't bring... They can't step it up enough. We're going to have to make it versus the universe.
One of the things... We went and podcasted with Jason a couple weeks ago in San Jose, and we had a really good time talking about his training philosophy. So, Rich, can you give people, like, just kind of how you approach training overall?
Very similar to what Jay does. We just kind of, in the mornings, very similar to what they do. We got a kind of a crew that we work out with. We just show up and throw stuff on the board like we did yesterday with Matt. Matt jumped in on that yesterday. And then middle of the day, I'm doing some just pure Olympic lifting. And then afternoon's very similar to the morning. A lot like Jason. It's pretty funny that...
All about having fun.
All about having fun. Working hard and having fun.
Now, I have a question. Ben, so, you know, Rich
Jason's
and-
running the show now.
No,
so you're taking over.
Fine by me.
Well, I think on the show it's important because, like, Rich and I, we kind of just make stuff up and just have some fun with it. Make stuff up and have fun with it. And, you know, just trying to enjoy the environment and just not take things too seriously and just hit it hard. Do you have set programming or how does yours look?
No, it's the exact same thing as you guys do. It's not like.
So there's not some special.
No, we work out.
The exact same thing.
We work out.
You don't do anything.
Yeah, we work out at 10 a.m. and we work out at 5:30 p.m. and we just make stuff up. Whatever we feel like.
Interesting.
How many days a week are you training?
Six.
Six days a week?
And seven is like something easy.
What would something easy be?
Rowing or running. Long, slow distance.
I don't know. I find that sometimes when Rich is doing something that's easy, I find it to be pretty difficult. That's why I'm asking.
Easy is definitely relative. I find with most people, they're doing some type of structured strength programming, and then the Metcons are the random part. Is that kind of what it's like for you?
We actually had that conversation yesterday that... I think that's the best way to approach a strength program is that you have to have some structure. You can't, I mean, you can just throw stuff together. In fact, Rich's program is interesting. You want to fill them in?
On what?
Just the rep sequences.
Right now?
Yeah.
The one I'm following is just a lot of heavy singles.
Yeah, that's it.
Right now.
There you go.
Every day, pretty much.
So you work to a heavy single every single day. And I mean, you know, I mean, if it works for you, it works, right?
Hitting PRs right now, so.
As you get closer to the CrossFit Games, will you kind of get away from the 1RMs and move more towards reps?
Yeah. And, you know, some of the warm-up sets, we'll still do some moderate or higher reps just to get some volume in, but.
Is that a different movement every day, though? You're doing, like, snatches one day, cleans the next day, or you're just squatting every day?
The squats are every day. It's back and front squat, heavy single, Monday through Thursday, and then Saturday. And then you'll heavy single on snatch on Monday, heavy single on clean and jerk on Wednesday, and then Saturdays both.
And then once you hit that heavy single, are you done?
You're done.
You don't do a lot of volume after that?
No, you do. Well, the second squat, you'll do a little bit, like, a few sets of three or two.
Or drop set.
Or maybe, or some pause squats or something like that.
I feel like you got to try out a little bit of everything, though. Like, you can't.
I just enjoy Olympic lifting, so I was I'll try it out.
I think just getting underneath some weight, lifting, fives, sevens, threes, ones.
I'm with Jason on
15s.
That one.
15s. 22s.
I was about to ask about, like, the strength volume, you know, because if you're doing a lot of conditioning, do you try to keep the strength stuff really high intensity, low volume, or it sounds like you might be just all over the place on that?
I'm particularly all over the place, but I'm going to start getting a little bit more structured for the top end. But for right now, I've been very all over the place. Wherever I travel to, whatever they want to do, I'll just do it.
So what do you do with the glycolytic pathway?
I try and hit the...
which of the 10 energy systems did you work today?
As I'm squatting, I'm working...
Sorry, though.
Gotta work your lactate battery.
Just hitting it hard. That's all it is. Yeah. You know, we talked about this last time. It's like everybody's trying to come up with that, you know, programming, but it's just...
It's hard work.
Just getting in the gym and hitting it, you know?
It's no secret.
I think people hear the different things that you guys do, and they only see the differences. They're like, well, he does a single every day, and he does doubles and triples only three times a week. And they only see, like, those little differences, and they don't picture it in their head, like, okay, they squat heavy, and they squat consistently over, you know, days, weeks, months, and years. You know, for 5 years in a row, if you squat consistently, whether it's 2 days a week or 1 day a week or 6 days a week, you're going to get stronger.
Right. Yeah.
There's more similarities there than there are differences.
Mm-hmm. So with how much you guys travel, I get a lot from people saying, hey, you know, I travel a lot. I do sales. You know, I'm busy. I can't train. You know, that's the excuse. I can't train or eat right. How is it you guys are able to stay on top of your training when you travel? Like, how do you make it a priority?
I live in an Airstream travel trailer. Yeah. I travel all the time. Here's the deal.
Are you being serious?
I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious. For the
trailer
last year.
Trash.
So, for the last year, I've been trailer trash. But you know what? I mean, You got to prioritize your fitness. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
You can make all the excuses in the world. I eat bad because I don't have time because of my work schedule. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get it.
Where does the majority of your training happen? Does that happen at other boxes that you're traveling?
Yeah.
And at home, you're just in your own gym.
So like I don't have a home. I don't own a home.
So living in, so you guys you had an affiliate at one point.
I still do.
Still have the affiliate.
I've got somebody running it.
But that's you don't train there the majority of the time.
At all.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
He's got a bunch of equipment in the back of his truck that he works out.
You just pull it out.
That's right.
That's awesome, man.
Yep.
Making it happen.
Since December 18th of last year.
So when someone comes to you with an excuse like I don't have time, you're like talk to me.
Eat it.
Yeah.
Eat it.
It's not necessarily a time thing when you travel. It's just a convenience thing. Mm-hmm. And if you want to work out, it's probably going to be inconvenient, but you just got to do it.
This guy's the king of hotel workouts.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to be traveling, just do something. You
Is
know?
That when you sneak in the bicep curls?
Hell yeah.
No, he's right. I mean, he gets up at 6 a.m. I've seen him do it multiple times when I've stayed in a hotel with him. And I've slept in, and he's like, hey, I'm getting up tomorrow at 6 a.m. to go work out. You know, these guys did the same thing during our trainer summit, and there's out there smashing it at 6 a.m.
I mean, dude, what it always is with the workouts, and this goes for everybody, the biggest thing I always hear is like, oh, I'm busy. It's like, really, dude? Are you really that busy you don't have an hour to work out? Because if you are, then you need to look at your lifestyle and determine if that's something you want to do. Because everybody has an hour to do something. They just need to get motivated to do it.
You want to lay on the bed and watch TV or go do something.
It's all about how your priorities are set. You know, everybody has an hour. And anybody who says they don't, it's full of shit.
Yeah. anyone can wake up and AMRAP 10 minutes of burpees and then get in the shower.
You're right.
It's not even totally an hour.
That's what I do in the hotel room by myself. I just do 10 minutes of burpees, get in the shower, I'm off my day.
Yeah. And I guarantee
he's making that up.
Hey, you do an AMRAP of 10 minutes and burpees, and the next day you do an AMRAP of air squats, the next day pushes, whatever. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you're going to be fitter than a lot of people in the United States.
Yeah. Anytime I don't have time to train, I always just do an AMRAP that I know it's only going to take me 10 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever I have, and then I'm gone.
Yep.
No warm up. Just do bodyweight movements. They're warm up movements anyway. Yep. Air squats, push ups, burpees, like you're talking about. Start to finish, 10 minutes, you're out.
Yep.
So what's the schedule for the weekend? You guys are taking off here pretty soon to fly to Berlin right now, right? And then you guys are getting there later with like a week to spare.
A week from now.
Tuesday.
Oh, you're just flying home right now.
I think we leave Tuesday, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, we fly home right now, and then we fly out again on Monday.
Monday.
So today's Tuesday right now?
Yeah.
So we fly out in less than a week. Mm-hmm. And then we arrive on Tuesday. And then normally what they did last year is, you know, we got our uniforms and stuff. And then we did some, like, press conference type stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we do a lot of dry runs through the workouts because it's a live event. So they want it to look pretty smooth and pretty, you know,
polished.
Clean. Polished.
Yep. You guys do know what the WADs are then?
Well, we'll find out like on Thursday, and we'll run through them on Friday like multiple times, or maybe even Thursday, Friday, just to make sure they look good. Because then for the TV crew and stuff, they want to know how the cameras will be angled and whatnot.
Oh, okay. So not really for you guys, more for the crew.
Right.
And
we won't do it like the whole workout. We won't use the prescribed weight, but we will perform the sequences so that they can kind of see how it's going to look.
Okay.
And last year, it was pretty neat the way they let us program the workouts. So
no way, really?
Yeah, so it was basically...
Like after you knew who was on the team? Like you could play to their strengths?
Right, so we're sitting at the little press conference, and it's Team USA versus Team Europe. We're sitting across from each other, and we're like... How about Amanda, heavy Amanda? And they were like, nope, I don't like the heavy part, but we'll do Amanda. And it's like, good, right. We'll do it. And then
it was just workout kind of after negotiation.
Workout. That's how we did it.
Finally, the Barbell Shrug Crew makes a return to Cookeville, Tennessee to let four-time defending champ Rich Froning take over the reins of Barbell Shrug and host. We talk about what it's like to transition from individual competition to team, what it's like to train and compete as a new father, and of course, what the future holds for the man himself.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Rich Froning in here for Mike Bledsoe. We have Chris Moore, James Hobart, and Mike McGoldrick.
Dude, you nailed it.
He did.
That was pretty good.
I feel like I've done this before.
Mike's fired.
A time or two.
That was so fast.
You hear that, Mike? You're done.
Stay in Peru, beard.
Change it to Rich Froning Shrug.
Rich, all of the shrug.
We're going with a bold remarketing campaign for the show.
All right.
All Rich Froning's abs. We're going to put your abs on the iTunes artwork and everything.
All right.
We are here in Cookeville, man. How's it going? It's been a while since we've been up here.
It's been, what, a year?
When was the last time we were here?
It's a year for me.
A year for you?
Yep.
A lot has changed in that time.
Last time in the podcast, I think it's been about 2 years since I've been here.
Team USA.
Team USA.
I was up here for 14.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess it's been a year.
And a few things have happened since then.
A few things.
You want to know the title? What's been going on last year, man?
I have a child.
A child.
A child.
I was messing with Rich. Not messing. Now Rich and I have a special connection because now we know is. We know what it is to try to keep everything else together while you got a youngin' in the house. How's it been so far?
Awesome. Nothing like it. The sleep schedule isn't the greatest, but that's
a lot of athletes out there struggle with the same thing. What have you done to try to get some sense of organization around your sleep schedule? I mean, mostly it's just suffering through. Right?
Yeah, yeah, really. To be honest, my wife does a great job of the. She takes the night shift. I usually take the morning shift, so usually getting up a little bit earlier than I'm used to. And then it's just cramming a lot of stuff in the morning, working out, and then cramming stuff in the evening. You know, still doing relatively close to the same volume, but. Yep. Trying to get home sometime in the middle of the day and then sometime again in the evening just to hang out with the girls. So it's been good.
How has your recovery been, though? I mean, because it's way more demands on you.
Yeah, recovery for sure. That's the biggest thing that I can tell the difference in is I don't feel as chipper as I used to first thing in the morning. So it's fun.
Not many of us do feel, especially after
could
the,
be
three,
the age thing
3:45 a.m. Double one with the milk.
Yeah.
Shake it out.
Yeah. And like I said, Hillary does a lot of the middle of the night stuff, but I'm still waking up once or twice, and she's still crying in my ear, too. So,
you be honest and tell me right now for the second on the show, you're not feeling at all like you're just going to withdraw. Because you put up on Instagram, like, you're not officially going to be in the CrossFit Games this year.
I'm in the CrossFit Games on a team.
On the team. As far as individual. Don't you still feel that? Are you still feeling the itch right now to jump back in and to prove what you can do? I mean, your fitness is still right up at the top.
I can say with 100% certainty, there's no part of me that wants to do individual.
You're not feeling it.
Not feeling it. I'm having a lot of fun doing what we're doing right now. So it's a lot more fun suffering with people than by yourself, that's for sure.
How have you now approached how you interact with other people differently now that the explicit aim of what you're doing is different? I mean, you're in a team setting versus now, I mean, your mindset to each workout, how you're approaching a competition, is it at all different? Or are you the same athlete, just in a different context now?
I think it's the same athlete, just different context. I mean, there's definitely areas that I'm lacking as an individual. And, you know, running is one of those things that I've worked on last.
Yeah, where you lack? I guess everybody wants to get out the notepad. And say,
running. So we've been doing a lot of running this year. No, me and James, we both kind of, you know, do the programming for the team, and, you know, everybody else has some input too. But we were, you know, we're sitting there and we're like, are we really going the right way?
People throw out ideas and we shoot them down.
What's the method for you shooting ideas? Like, that's interesting. You're not sitting down with spreadsheets and maybe all these notes and putting down a step-by-step, smooth SOP of training. Some of this is sort of takes shape on the go, right? Like I said, you're shooting some ideas down. You're mixing things up. You're mixing ideas. You never quite know session to session. Do you have a long-ranging plan for your training?
There are like little things. I think it'll become a little more specific when regional workouts get released. I think we'll be more focused on practicing those, versions of those. Right now, method to the madness, I don't know. Like, we run 2 days a week. We swim 2 days a week. We've been following CrossFit weightlifting, Coach Bergner's programming there. And then from there, I think we're probably both a little guilty of this. When we identify weaknesses, I don't say we over-attack them.
We hammer them.
Yeah. Last year with handstand push-ups, I feel like we both wanted to work on strict handstand push-ups, deficit handstand push-ups, and I feel like there was just three-week periods where that's all
every
we
day.
Did was some. But,
it,
you know.
Got better. And, you know, we're sitting there talking the one day and we're like, do we need to, you know, have everybody else, you know, everybody have a different program because, you know, the girls have different needs than the guys and blah, blah, blah. And we're sitting there and we're, you know, we're talking and I guess the main thing that kept coming up was just need to do CrossFit. That's what they need to get better at. And
practice,
so,
basically.
Do CrossFit.
Keep playing.
And that's what we kind of came to the assumption of is we do CrossFit, they do CrossFit, everybody gets better. And, you know, maybe there's some things that you can bias, but you don't want to go too far one way.
You don't take the throttle off the things that you're already good at.
No,
you?
Right.
Because that's two competing things. Like, one, do you make sure that the things you are a master of and your strengths, you really floor them and maximize them, or do you take the pedal off to sort of bring other...
You still sprinkle them in there, I think, but I don't think you bias them, like I was saying. I think you just kind of... They're there. Like, the overhead squat is just kind of something that, for me, is not... You know, it just comes naturally. So it's just one of those things that I hit every once in a while, but I need to work on running, obviously.
Keep it sharp. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, if you push that, you'd just be sucking resource and time from something that needs to be improved. Like, so you can hammer something really hard if you're not putting undue resource on something that's not necessary.
Right.
Do you enjoy knowing the workouts before regionals when they come out?
I might this year a little bit more than years past in that, you know, we can kind of practice them as a team and, you know,
yeah.
have the some of the other girls and the guys know what's going on, what they need to work on. So that'll be nice, but I don't like other people being able to practice them too. So
right. I was going to ask you the same thing.
Yeah, I think with team, knowing the workouts, there are a couple other, like, knowns that you can take care of, like, before competition by knowing the workouts and just like transition stuff, where to be at the right time, because that matters a little bit more. Team, there's more moving parts to it. So for that, yeah, I like it.
Gotcha.
But again, yeah, I don't.
It's more rehearsal at that point.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
Making sure you guys have transitions down and who's going to move where and when.
I'm going to keep staring.
Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Rich. Well, welcome back to Barbell Shrug. Sorry for that brief, awkward silence for a second. We're back and we kind of regrouped there. I think you inserted a commercial or something. Oh, yeah. I think the next
we
discussion.
We don't need to tell that story.
No, I think we should. I think, I mean, it's.
Yeah, tell it. Yeah.
I'm a professional.
Only
everybody poops, man. Come on.
The moral is just never trust
There's
a
even
fart.
A book
That's
about
just
it.
Like,
okay, so we got done swimming. We swam about 2,000 meters.
James, look up your face, man. Let it shine.
Forever. We swam a lot. And we get back in the truck, and one of the guys was hanging out after the level one seminar. He's like, man, I got to have coffee. We don't drink coffee around here. So we're going to get some coffee. And James is like, dude, pull over right here. It's like, no. He's like, dude,
freaking out. You were water
flipping. I've never seen him freak out like that. He goes, dude, I just shit my pants. I was like, no, you didn't. He's like, yes. You pull over right now at this gas station.
What are you, a toddler?
Pull over at this gas station. Or I'm going to shit in the sidewalk.
Oh, man.
And
that's
it happens to the best of us, James. Don't worry about that.
And so I pull over. He goes in. And I'm thinking he's got to poop. Nope. He showed me a picture. And he had a nice little skid mark in his underwear.
You white, documented it.
White compression shorts.
Well, I was in there. And I was like, I had this like huge existential dilemma. And I was like, you know, I could walk out and be like, no, it was just a fault. You know, the false of the ghost. The ghost fart is a false alarm. Nothing happened. Or I could show all my friends so they could have something to ridicule me with for the rest of my life.
We talked earlier about, you know, posting your weaknesses and sometimes failing online. Like, it's the same thing.
That's
some
exactly
YouTube fans, you need to let people know do
you do it. I went in there prepared, and it didn't go like I planned.
It didn't. Do you still have the compression shorts?
You threw those out, right?
I'm not going to answer that question. I'm not going to dignify that with a response.
He's got them. Actually,
they're like Reebok prototype compression shorts.
Yeah, they have Kevlar on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Thomas Cox.
You cannot clean Kevlar.
Reebok,
awesome.
Reebok depends.
You know,
got
Thomas
it.
Trains with us. He yep. So he used to run a lot, and he's always have to go to the bathroom in the middle of his run. And so he would always take a crap in his neighbor's bushes and
what?
Wiped his butt with his T-shirt, kept the T-shirt. Took it home, threw it in the washing machine.
Oh, Thomas,
that's
man.
Different than what I did.
That's much different. Like,
his was a choice. Mine was
an accident.
I forgot he was a distance runner for a while.
Yeah. Like your neighbor pokes out athlete. The window and says, oh, hey, good morning, Thomas. What are you doing? Shit on my daisies there?
Fertilizing.
Fertilizing.
Oh, man.
It's the winter. You got to be able to overcome obstacles.
What's that bag for, your dog? No, it's for me.
It's for me. Well, this is a perfect time. We were talking about during the break, actually, the importance of keeping it light. We're keeping it light now. But actually, Rich, you were talking
about
the
fact that you could segue off of what we just discussed.
Keeping it light.
Sometimes you're like, I think I can play this to get over there what we talked about talking about. Now, we were talking about how important it is for play. And you were talking about how that you have the epic, was it the hockey matches in Cookville?
Yeah, we play hockey Tuesday nights, little pickup hockey in Sparta, Tennessee. It's at a skating rink.
Just down the way here.
Just down the way, about 15 minutes south, maybe 20, depends on how fast you're going. But it's a, you know, Tuesday nights, usually we play for about 2 hours, and then usually a first to five after that, and usually get milkshakes at McDonald's and some triple cheeseburgers, you know? You know how it goes.
This is not the most, like, you don't have anybody calculating all the reps and sets and volume and the macronutrients and all of this. This is for having fun.
This is having fun, man. It, you know, people get, I think everybody gets caught up in being in the gym too much, and, you know, that's the only way to get fit. But I think, you know, what's the point in being fit if you're not going to get out and use it? And I think there's a different mindset between games athletes and the general public. You know, I actually got benched last year by my wife from playing hockey because I caught a high stick. And possibly, you know, depends on who you're talking to, should have had some stitches.
I fixed him.
Yeah, James.
You laid hands on him.
Were you driving the whole way home? We're going to be okay, Rich. It's gonna be okay.
So one night she decided to come watch, and
you're like, she's like, is it like this every time?
Within 10 minutes, too, just smashing the head.
I got a high, caught a high stick, blood gushing everywhere, and so we just tape it up. We're arguing the whole way home about having to go to the hospital. And then we stopped by McDonald's to get shakes, of course, because that's just a ritual we have to do. And then I had an allergic reaction to ibuprofen.
Oh.
And I thought...
The milkshake? The green McDonald's milkshake?
No, strawberry. Strawberry.
Strawberry.
And so I'm sitting in the back seat. James is driving. Hill's in the front. And I'm, like, having this dilemma. Like, do I have... Something got in the cut, and like I'm gonna die.
Maybe
like,
this gluten thing is for real.
My hands,
I got gluten in the incision.
My hands feel like they're gonna just explode. My head, like every hair follicle on my head, feels like it's on fire. The bottoms of my feet, my face starts getting flushed. We stopped by.
That sounds like a good time to me.
This wasn't beta alanine or anything.
No, we stopped by Walgreens, and Hillary goes in to get some butterfly bandages, and I'm like, James, this isn't good. Like, we might need to go to the hospital. I was like, but I'm not going to the hospital. He's like, what's wrong? I was like, I'm having some type of allergic reaction. I get home. I'm like, Hillary, I got to go to the shower.
It was beta alanine, wasn't it?
It was beta alanine. No. And so I hopped in the shower, chugged a half a bottle of baby Benadryl because that's all we had at the house. Turned out
fine.
Turned out fine.
The baby Benadryl, usually I measure that out carefully because the last thing I want to with a little syringe, you just rip the top off and drown it.
Just drank it. That's all we had. Went away. We're good.
Yeah, we're talking about a while. Like, always, I guess, is how people get so consumed with the numbers and expectations in the gym. And pretty soon, you forget what the hell it is you're even training for.
Yeah.
Like, you get consumed with going for the WOD and this, that, and the other, and the outcome. You forget, what is that, the real-world application of what I do in here? Like, how does this relate to what I want to get better at, what I want to pursue in my everyday life?
Yeah.
What else do you do besides hockey? Firing guns, I imagine.
Yeah, we shoot some guns, of course. This is Tennessee. I think you have to do that to live here. But
Can we shoot a gun? I still have never in my life shot a gun.
Yeah, we can.
What?
I know. I'm willing to admit it because it's something I need to remedy. But never in my life I shot a gun. I'm born and raised in Tennessee.
As soon as we're done, we'll make that happen.
Oh, man. Ooh. I'm excited now.
Yeah.
Can you coach me on it? I don't want to, like, take anybody's.
Just hold it.
And pull trigger. Pull trigger.
Sideways.
I'm excited.
Sideways.
like a gangster?
Yeah.
You know, they tested it on Mythbusters one time, Rich. Did you see that episode? Mm. Well, like, you know, they get up a scientific analysis of whether the gangster style holding of the handgun is more accurate or not. It turns out it's obviously terribly inaccurate.
Yeah.
That even from me to McGoldrick, if I was shooting, I wouldn't hit him. That's how bad that is to hold a gun.
Those guys are
like
pretty fast, too, but.
Yeah, you're lightning fast.
So fast.
The hockey and guns, what else are you programming the week besides just the typical gym stuff?
It is turkey hunting season.
Handball, man.
Handball. We do. Talking about your poop story.
Well, James poop story.
I was trying not to laugh at that,
Wednesday.
To be honest. I heard it and I was like, oh, maybe everybody will miss it.
No, I laughed.
Wednesday, we made up this game. It's kind of like, we call it handball, but it's basically we have two buckets at the end, either end of old chalk buckets at either end of the gym. We put a gymnastics mat behind it and we use the dodgeballs we use in CrossFit Kids class. And it's basically like
ultimate
frisbee. When you catch it, you got to stop. And you're shooting it into that bucket, but then there's like a no-go zone that you can't shoot inside the no-go zone. And then whenever one team scores, the other team has to go row 100 meters or ski erg 100 meters. So there's a little bit of fitness involved, but it's fun. So Wednesday's usually game day.
Rich makes up a lot of the rules on the fly, though.
Did you find he makes them up to favor his
the
outcome?
The no-go zone is for everybody else. Oh. I'm just saying.
You're a liar.
I don't write the news. I just report it. But it's an awesome game, that's nonetheless.
I think the important thing in games, man, is like you can't perform at your best if you're so worried about how you're going to do. Like, the best line I know of is from the wise sage Bill Murray. It's like the best you're going to do in anything is when you're having a good time.
For sure.
Very simple.
You tell yourself no so many times you run out of free will. You know, but knowing when to back off and go play and have milkshakes or whatever is obviously very important as being, you know, a high-level athlete. You need to know when it's okay to kind of let loose. You know, you're working hard all the time, so it's probably hard to turn off, like, I should be doing this. I could be doing this.
Okay, well, how do you know
when
it's time? Do you know a specific time?
That's the balance. You know, you learn that. You learn that over time. Sometimes when you don't let off, you start seeing some things fall apart a little bit.
Yeah, I think you can always say there are general rules. People get hung up on the rules, like, okay, I'm feeling pretty beat up. What are the rules around resting? Well, what do you need to do? I guess the challenge everybody faces is finding a mixture of the methods that allows you, not everybody else in the room, not the average, but allows you to perform at your best. You know, a method, a mindset, a motor that allows you to push as hard as you can in a way that makes you as fulfilled as you can be in a gym.
Yeah, everybody's different, I think. I think that's something you've got to figure out. It takes experience. it's not, you know, what works for Mike doesn't work for me, doesn't work for James. You know, it's just kind of a, you know, it's something we've had to figure out, and it's not something that you figure out overnight.
Right. You can't be miserable. You know, it's like I see so many athletes are like, and there's a difference between like hard and, you know, determined, devoted, but then just being miserable. You know, you're like you're in the gym and you're just like everything you're doing, you're hating. Like if you're hating the pro, yeah, workouts are hard and they hurt and they suck, but it's like when you start hating the process, it's like, okay, go have one donut. Mm-hmm. It's not going to ruin everything.
Everything
like,
in moderation.
Go play hockey. Yeah, yeah, everything in moderation. You need moderation. That's like
go
a
have
really
one dozen
idea.
Donuts.
Have eat a pizza.
Yeah, when you're
an entire
smoke a cigarette. You know, just whatever stuff you need to do.
You can't afford to be in the gym working against yourself.
Yeah, I think it's like insane. And I'm playing sports again has been like playing hockey has been like the best thing for my training the last 2 years because it just made me take it less seriously.
It's something to look forward to.
Man, yeah, it's like I wanted to do less workouts on the hockey day because I didn't want to be tired for hockey, and like that just gets you energized.
That's awesome.
And it's so much better.
Yeah. Get out there and play.
And you get a pretty good workout playing hockey.
Yeah.
Sure. Yep. What are some of the biggest mistakes you see people make? So we're on that topic of people taking it a little too serious and not knowing when to back off. You know, inside of training as well, you know, attacking weaknesses or whatever balance you would say, what are some of the biggest mistakes you see?
You know, we were talking about, I forget who we were talking about last night, but, you know, people that, I mean, you're just basing or not basing, but you're just doing strength stuff. That's what I feel like a lot of people now are like, well, I'm building a heavy single every single day. You know, that has value if you're doing Olympic weightlifting or powerlifting. But I think for CrossFit, I think, you know, we're, if you look at the games the last couple of years, you know, you have one strength, pure strength event that's out of what, 13 or 14 every year. And I think people are just focusing a little too much on one event that you're letting some other stuff go. But that's not everybody. It's just some. What do you think there?
You coach on the level one seminar staff, right?
Yes.
So you see a ton of people almost every week. What are some of the main things you see people come in and, you know, obviously they're to learn from you guys, and what's one of the biggest things?
It's like rejection of being good at fundamentals, I think, is like, because it is hard. It's like if I look at the athletes who fill up CrossFit gyms, it's like, you know, 9-to-5ers. It's just people doing 5 workouts a week. But obviously what people see most of is YouTube, where you see like the best and you all see the worst. But, you know, you see guys like Rich. And I think one of the coolest things when I first started coming down to train with Rich, he was doing this warm-up at the time. And it was 5 minutes every 30 seconds. It was 10 air squats, slow, good air squats. And it was like that hit me like, bang, you know, like, holy crap, this is how, you know, Rich's warm-up is very uncomplicated, best athlete in the world, and he's practicing the air squat. You know, it's sure. Like more people need to do stuff like that. I know we say it a lot, and it's, you know, that's the hard candy that nobody wants to, like, bite into, but gosh, it pays big dividends.
Maybe rushing through the fundamentals or being afraid to revisit them a lot.
Yeah, I think that's even it better said is just revisiting fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
In this classic case where people see, like I said, the highlights, and they see where they want to be now. You see a guy like Kendrick Ferris or something lifting, you go, okay, well, I want to be good at weightlifting. What are some of the things that he's doing that I can pick up? Versus you forget the 15 or 20 years before that where the simplest things for a long time made a gigantic
huge difference.
The simplest habits. The habit of like chopping wood and carrying water. Like if it can work for Rich to do some
manual
a simple
labor,
bodyweight squat workout, are you just doing a warm-up? If you're just doing something more complicated just because you can? Like that's a harsh question of like, what am I writing up here just because I want to impress myself with how good I can be with nomenclature, scientific symbols, percentages, that and the other. And just forgetting what your actual purpose and primary objective of the training session is. If it's very simple, then it's okay for it to be simple. Not everything has to be so freaking complicated.
Yep.
Did you guys see the movie Jiro Dreams of Sushi?
This is the best, one of the best documentaries ever.
Yeah, so
for sure.
Master.
It's arguably the best sushi chef in the world. And like, I think he spent like 6 years of his life making rice before he ever actually touched fish.
And then the omelet, the simpler the thing were in the restaurant, the more it took.
Yeah.
More attention to detail and everything it took, for sure.
That was cool to see.
Yeah. You got me distracted with omelets.
Are you a puck hog?
A puck hog?
Yeah.
Like in hockey?
Yeah. Or is Rich a puck hog?
Yeah, Rich is a puck dog. I'm definitely not. I can barely hold on to the puck. Like I don't skate backwards yet.
I don't want it.
Way more than I shoot.
Yeah. We're painting Rich as a successful athlete because he's so greedy.
Yeah.
He makes his own rules. That's how he wins, and he hogs the puck.
He scores. I win. It's a team sport, bro. It's a team game.
I'm the fittest, okay?
I still won.
I'm the fittest hockey player here.
Go poop your pants, James. James did hit a tie to PR, right? The day he pooped his
pants. Yeah, I think so.
It's on a front squat, so that's good.
I think we're going to talk about hockey, my skills there.
You'd shed all shame that we were ready to commit fully to the sport.
Exactly. Thank you.
You'd shed all shame in addition to your compression
Stand
underwear.
Up, dust yourself off, and that's the other thing. People just not dusting themselves off after they've
pooped their pants.
You didn't wipe your butt or what?
You guys get off this topic.
You got to dust it off, man.
Yeah.
Oh, get ready.
Rich has braces. Let's talk about something else.
Get ready to dust some haters off.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Rich, we're here this weekend for the Mustard Seed Classic. Tell us a little about this event, man. What are you looking to accomplish with it?
Raising money for kids, man. It's the Mustard
Seed. Now this is a little more close to home now. Yeah. You have kids.
Yeah, it is. The Mustard Seed Ranch is a non-denominational Christian home for boys and girls. And, you know, it's been a good thing. It's been a cool thing that the city has done, or not the city, but local groups.
Is it here in Cookeville area?
Yep, here in Cookeville. It's actually about 2 or 3 minutes from my house now. Great people, great kids. I think last year we raised like $95,000, so hoping to get there again. And last year they were building another house, and so all of it's privately funded. None of the money comes from the state. So
yeah. Are you doing anything to inject a little? Are they having any kind of health, fitness, nutrition interaction? Or?
So we allow them to come to CrossFit Mayhem to do the CrossFit Kids class for free.
Cool.
They were doing that for a little while. No, right now it's kind of like they've got some other stuff going on, so I don't think they've been there in the last couple of weeks. But they were doing that for a little while. So
yeah, it's raised a good question. To me, you got a kid now. Your training objectives are changing. Are you thinking more? I mean, it's time to put more focus into what you'll leave behind, I guess. I'm not talking about your impending demise,
right,
or that,
yeah.
But now it's time more spread about what you're about and what you've learned from this experience and how you can impact people. What are some of the big where do you see things going next year? So what you'd like to share in terms of, do you want to do more outreach with kids? Do you want to try a different kind of challenge? Because, I mean, for better or worse, this particular challenge is going to fade a little bit. You've been here, you've done this. Maybe come back to it in the future, and that's just fine. But right now, you don't strike me as a guy who's going to sit around and kind of just kick it and do some workouts still and not challenge yourself, because you need to be challenged.
Trying to figure that out, to be honest. There's the last, you know, my next objective is to win a CrossFit Games on a team event or on the team side. So may not be this year. Maybe, you know, that's the goal this year, but we'll see. But I think right now that's that's my goal. After that, I don't know. I don't know what the plan for Rich Froning is, but we'll see. And, I'll be around. I'll be around somewhere.
Will you push until you get it? I mean, will be no stopping you until you get the team title in your hands?
I mean,
because in many ways, maybe that means more to you maybe than an individual in some respects.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, there's part of being able to share that with other people instead of just yourself. You know, you finish the CrossFit Games and you win and it's great, and you get to, you know, share it with the people that have helped you get there. But it's just kind of like Christmas, you know, the day after Christmas where you're like, well,
What do I
want next year? Yeah.
And so typically, like, if you're watching ESPN or whatever, like, the day after the trophies get handed out, like the Patriots win or whatever, and the day after, it's like, okay,
next year,
let's pretend like it never happened.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it, I mean, that's really what it is. It's like the day after, it's, well, what's next year? So
I think maybe that's what will get you in the end, because you dump so much into it, and like by the end of it, you got almost nothing left to give. If you're doing it the right way, mm-hmm. That's in football, that's in strongman, weightlifting, cross, or anything, you cannot half commit.
No.
But you got to realize maybe there's a sweet spot where you can pull off these levels of commitment.
Yeah.
And you really got to make the most of it right now, or else you're not going to get this chance to repeat.
Because no.
you can't keep up that energy forever, man.
Yeah.
The clock
no,
is ticking for everybody.
I agree.
I'm curious to see what a lot of like top or successful athletes do, CrossFit athletes do after the games. You know, whether they open an affiliate or how do they give back, or I don't want to say maintain a persona in the community.
Once they're
done. But take, you know, their, you know, athletic prowess, and how does that transfer to other parts of their life? What do they do with that? I'm like really curious to see how athletes handle that differently. You know, whether it's like, you know, the Rich Froning barbell camp or charity work, or I don't know, just how does that contribute to the rest of their life?
It's very difficult, and I see some struggle with it. If you built your identity on that,
yeah,
and then it's taken, then what?
Yeah.
So you struggle. You know, hang, who am I really? You know, what am I going to do?
Yeah. What am I good at?
Yeah, gotta work on something else.
Yeah.
What teams do you think will give you guys the biggest challenge?
Who do you have in your crosshairs?
I mean, NorCal's been chirping, Miranda especially.
I saw the picture.
The funniest thing is, though, she'll text me and James before she posts anything, and she's like, "Is this okay that
all
I put
bark,
this?"
No bite.
Yeah. She's like, "Is this going to offend anybody?" And we're like,
Miranda know. Just go.
Does
ahead
she
and
ask
it
permission
up
before
yeah
she?
Yeah, that's the funny part. Is everybody's like, oh, they're like, they're going at it, and uh-huh she'll text us before, make sure,
sure yeah,
it's okay,
fun,
which is
yeah
cool. You know, it's what it's about. It's
yeah
about getting a little hype, making it
yeah
fun.
It's
kind of
like wrestling.
And, yeah,
kinda.
It's, yeah, yeah, completely. So I mean, I think NorCal teams like NorCal, Invictus won it last year. You know, there's a lot of good teams out there.
And you never know who's going to pop up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm surprised yeah more and more every year with how the quality of competition is, I won't call it rising, it's escalating at a furious exponential pace.
Yeah.
I mean, and to think about how many athletes have been able to stay with, like, you guys have been in it from 2008, 9, 10 even, still to 2015 to be competitive in the mix is
yeah
wild to even comprehend as fast as things have been spinning out of control. For 'cause better or worse, the evolution of the Open in this event has been extraordinary.
Yeah,
fascinating to watch.
Somebody put out a little matrix about like how many people had, you know, competed in the games this year that made regionals, and it was like more than one time. I think it was like 1% or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it's crazy.
There's not many, and that's really, I've always found that really impressive.
Yeah,
the guys that have been here since the games have really been around and are continuously there, that's really impressive.
It's basically like not even the same sport.
Yeah,
wild
yeah
evolution.
Kind of adapted with it, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I think commitment level's way different than it was in 2009, 2010.
Yeah. Jason, I mean,
oh,
I think
yeah
that's pretty cool that, you know, Kalipa that in 2008 won the games and then he's still around in 2014.
I find it incredible.
That's pretty impressive.
I also find it incredible that he decided, I don't know what's going on, but he's out too this year, right? He's not going to do individual
team
competition.
He's
just because Rich
just doing
is
team. did he feel like himself, like, if I can't beat Rich,
oh, is Rich
care
going team? Oh,
I
want to do
about
that.
I don't care about beating anybody. Rich, we talked about your plans maybe for after the team. You don't quite know what you want to accomplish, but I do know one thing you did. You just bought a bunch of land around.
Yeah,
there,
we just bought 70 acres just 70 down the road. So, yep.
What's the big plan? I know there's probably some kind of futuristic compound in the mix.
Building a house, going to have
a garage,
have a barn. That's the, you know, my wife's doing most of the house stuff. Mine's the barn. So we'll see how that goes.
Can you say what kind of tiles go into the bathroom?
No, not really. I'll tell you what, building a house or designing a house is one of the biggest challenges to our marriage. It's been fun. There's a lot of yes here and there. But,
it requires a whole other layer of fitness.
Yes.
You're like, this is where the rock climbing walls
yeah
need to go. She's like, that's the kitchen. You're like, yeah.
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 I
don't care how fit you are. You can't put stall bars in the living room.
Nope. Yeah. Nothing.
Speaking of, this guy's built handmade stall bars for his sweet garage gym.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. It's one of my hobbies.
Man.
Anything I can build with my hands and then work out with it is even better. It's like a bonus.
Anything else you guys got want to add, man?
I have a question. Put 70 acres in perspective for me. How big is this land here?
This is,
how many acres is this?
I think what Dad has is right at 12.
So that's a lot of land. Yeah.
It's a lot.
Wow.
So
you tentatively have 4 gyms to work out at in Cookeville?
3.
Is that enough?
I'll sell my house, yeah.
Okay.
Is it enough gyms? Can you do with a few more? You want plenty of options every single place
Everywhere I go.
Any place where you buy groceries, a place to get quick water.
He made Go Mats, now he makes Go Gyms.
Go Gyms.
Well, as best as boss, like, so you found time to be a little more lazy, right? It's like, no, well, I mean, this is what I do. What else would I do?
Yeah, like I told you, I'm not good at anything else. I got to work out.
Try to make jokes like, do you spend any time playing Dungeons & Dragons? Any
we have
poetry?
We have dusted off the Nintendo 64 and played some NASCAR 99 lately. So that's been pretty fun.
Again, the play counts, right? Even any mental break from the usual routine is probably going to be beneficial.
Yeah,
it involves tossing some turtle shells at your friends.
My thumb gets, you know, a little wore out from the toggle stick, whatever it is.
That's the most mentally stressful thing we do.
Oh, yeah. My wife talks major trash. That's the only thing she'll be competitive at.
We lost the season. I thought we were going to drive off a bridge.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, we were leading into the last 3 races and just fell
Dale
apart.
Dale Jarrett.
Terry Labonte, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's a far more intense world than the world of CrossFit. That's for sure. The reader boards in the world of digital gaming.
That is somewhere where you never want to take a break. You don't ever want to take it easy in that. You want
gaming?
To continuously push, yeah.
Yeah, because you lose your spot real quick.
Yeah.
Anything else to add, guys? We have the Mustard Ranch tomorrow. Must we're eating tonight. Tonight is Vice Friday. Where are we going to have? We're just going to shoot guns.
Go to shoot a gun.
We could eat more donuts. I mean,
one thing I thought about doing
I
got
to go to Rouse. Can you tell a story? I'll tell a story. You tell a story.
You tell a story.
You're a great storyteller.
You tell a story.
It's a quick story.
It's a pretty quick
first
story.
First time I ever came up to train with you.
Mike had a, I think you went in a diabetic coma, didn't you?
I fell asleep at like 7:30. You got to have Rouse. Rouse is a donut place here.
We ordered 2 dozen donuts. I went upstairs to take a shower, and I came down. I think Mike had half of every single donut there.
Yeah. And then I was just like, I'm going to bed. Like, you all right? I'm like, yeah.
I'll be okay.
Why's your tongue swelling up?
You try to hang with a champ. You know what? Eating sugar. It didn't work out for you.
We worked out like 3 times that day. And the next day, we worked out like 3 more times. And it felt great.
What people don't know is glaze and corn syrup are really effective at refueling your body. Especially after
somehow you need those calories.
Carb backloaded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. It felt good.
All right, guys. Had a blast, man.
Yeah, that was fun.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Till next time.
It's Barbell Shrugged.
Oh, shit. We get...
What? Sign up for the newsletter. James Hobart, Rich Froning, Chris Moore.
Barbell Shrugged.
Anybody? Yeah, anything you want to talk about?
The wheels came off the end. Go to barbellshrug.com.
More charities.
Sign up for the newsletter.
Tell them how to support that.
Yeah, it's just Mayhem for Mustard Seed. I don't even know if there's a what.
Man, there's a Facebook page I know. We'll Facebook link to page. It in the show
yeah,
notes.
Yeah,
they're
Eventbrite or something like that. You can go in there and... Yeah, I think you can donate. I think they'll... I'm pretty sure they'll take money anytime they can get it. So,
absolutely.
Yep. And then Rogue Fitness, Advocare, Reebok, all that stuff.
just name it.
So you said plug whatever.
Just looking at his clothes.
Cookville, the state of Tennessee.
Shoes.
Dale Earnhardt. Banner. Thank you, yeah. Dale
Chevrolet,
Earnhardt.
Chevrolet. Polaris. America.
80 yeah. degree weather.
80 degree weather.
Black Labs.
Black Labs. Toshiba. America.
Toshiba speakers.
They're going to do an event next year?
Always. This is the, well,
forever.
I think so.
Well, get plans to sign up for next year if you didn't sign up this year.
400th annual.
Rich there died 360 years ago, but we're still going to keep this thing alive.
Oh, man.
We're not giving up. Barbell Shrugged is brought to you by you. To learn more about how you can support the show, go to barbellshrugged.com and sign up for the newsletter.